This is 90.9 WBUR. I'm Sharon Brody. An iconic figure in the Cambridge arts community has died. Her family says 83-year-old portrait photographer Elsa Dorfman died of kidney failure in her Cambridge home yesterday. WBUR's Deborah Becker has this remembrance.
The inimitable Elsa Dorfman was a fixture in Cambridge for decades, known as much for her large Polaroid portraits as for her authenticity, openness, and warmth. Dorfman first became known in Cambridge when she started selling her photos in a pushcart in Harvard Square in the 1960s. In a 2015 interview, Dorfman said she sold as many as she could for about $2.
I was the queen of freelancing before freelancing had a name.
Decades later, at the height of her career, a Dorfman 20-by-24-inch Polaroid portrait cost thousands. Her work is widely praised for showing people unguarded, many times joyful. Dorfman said she knew when to take a shot, when she felt the authenticity of the moment.
I certainly know what I want, and I know I'm never going to get that, or get it when you can, don't think about it too much, or like, I like it to not look plastic. I mean, you know, like people are too made up and too people who like to be portrayed, you know, size zero, high heels, you know, they don't come to me.
One reason people did come to her was for her unique type of portrait. Dorfman had the only privately owned, huge 240-pound accordion-like box instant Polaroid land camera. Polaroid made only about a half dozen of them.
Well, it's so theatrical. Don't you think it's very theatrical?
Absolutely.
I mean, when you think of what a little digital camera, cell phone camera is, can't compare.
Dorfman couldn't explain why she would only work with this camera, with its fragile film and chemical pods that were hard to come by, especially when Polaroid stopped selling instant film in about 2009. Dorfman said she just knew she was smitten.
I couldn't do it with any other camera.
How come?
I don't know. Can you really say why you fell in love with someone or why your marriage lasted? Or you can say why your marriage didn't last, but you can't really say, I don't think, if somebody said to me, well, why are you still married or how are you? I could never put my finger on it.
Before becoming her longtime assistant, filmmaker John Reuter taught Dorfman how to use the camera in 1980 when he was working for Polaroid, which was then based in Cambridge.
The irony is she actually leased the camera, and she leased it for so long she could have bought three of them.
Always laughing, always curious, always eccentric, the Polaroid, Reuter said, was an extension of Dorfman's outsized personality and how she connected with those who sat for a portrait.
The key thing for her is a relationship between her and the sitters to get the most out of them, and the camera's supposed to kind of do its thing.
Dorfman always included a caption on the portrait and signed them. In 2015, we watched some of her last photo shoots, which started with lots of small talk.
Can you count to 800? 800, you'd be so tired.
Dorfman's disarming manner immediately put people at ease.
Oh, that is cute. Yes, do that.
Clearly, Dorfman enjoyed the creative chaos.
And then you're all set. Crossing your legs is good.
Until just the right moment.
Here we go. You ready? Okay.
Typically, Dorfman would take two shots. The one her subject chose, she called the A-side. The 2017 documentary about Dorfman by Errol Morris is titled The B-side, Elsa Dorfman's Portrait Photography. Morris said this about Dorfman's work during a Lincoln Center talk about his documentary.
In a grant application, I once said that Elsa's art was the perfect combination of dime store photography and Renaissance portraiture. And I'll stick by it.
Dorfman grew up in Roxbury in Newton, went to Tufts, and thought she might become a writer. She moved to New York City, where she worked as a secretary for a book publisher.
I decided that New York was too much for me. There was no woman that I met who wasn't an alcoholic, who wasn't promiscuous, who wasn't a druggie, and was creative or had an interesting life.
It was when Dorfman returned home that she found photography and blossomed creatively. Morris's documentary includes a TV interview about her 1974 book titled Elsa's Housebook, A Woman's Photo Journal, where Dorfman explained her creative process.
And it's sort of like a reservoir that's in me that's operating, but I'm not thinking about it when I actually have the camera in my hand. I'm really guided by my unconscious. Sounds sort of mystical, but I think I take my best pictures when my head isn't cluttered with other things.
Photos of her friends, many of whom she met in New York, propelled her career. Allen Ginsberg was a close friend, and her portrait of Ginsberg and the poet Peter Orlovsky hangs in the National Portrait Gallery. From another friend, the late poet Robert Creeley, she borrowed the phrase onward, which was how she signed off on every email. Dorfman's Cambridge studio was filled with mementos and photos, many of her family, her husband, civil rights attorney Harvey Silverglate, their son, Isaac Dorfman Silverglate, his wife, and their two grandchildren. Silverglate says his wife truly enjoyed people.
Well, she was a great photographer, a great wife, and a great mother, and a great friend. The phone calls and emails are coming in from friends of hers. I mean, she had the gift of friendship. It's really a gift.
Silverglate says the last time Dorfman left their home was to see the exhibit of her work that opened at Boston's Museum of Fine Arts in February. In Morris's documentary, Dorfman said what she wanted was to make people happy.
I don't like to take pictures of people who are sad. And I don't like to take pictures of people who are brokenhearted. I somehow have this misguided therapeutic idea that it's my role in the universe to make people feel better. This will be easy. Look, it's easy. Let's have fun.
Memorial services will be held after the pandemic. Onward, Elsa. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Deborah Becker.